This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You with Big Z?
And you're also with Big Fen.
Big Fen, I am now Big Fen.
When we combine, we are Zen.
And you are listening to This Is Spoke. How zen is that? How
come
nice is
on.
That?
And today we are talking about happiness.
This is a totally relaxing, zened out show.
Yeah.
So happy for you to listen to this
come
one.
Come on.
Obviously, according to data, the happiness of 16 to 25 year olds is dropping compared to those teens of prior decades. Anxiety and depression is on the rise amongst this social media age with the increased rate of teenage suicide.
Overall, happiness and confidence in emotional health had dropped to their lowest level since 2009. With everybody's lives being documented on social media, there's no wonder why the rise in mental health problems has come.
So today you're tuned into The Happiness Show. We're hopefully going to make you able to find a little bit of happiness. Mm. And it's going to be a zen show, right?
Zen. Well, we're also going to talk about unhappiness as well, though.
Right, exactly.
I'm saying because there's two sides to every story.
So we're in the studio with our good friends, Mim Shake and Chris Jammer. We're going to be breaking down the concept of happiness.
So. First, before we get into this, let them know who you guys are, man. Mim, let them know, man.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on, first and foremost. I'm a radio broadcaster, broadcasting on the BBC. I'm an actor and a documentary filmmaker.
Jeez.
Nice. Yeah, cheers for having me, guys. My name is Chris Jammer. I am a co-founder of Strawberries and Cream Music Festival. I was also seen on your TV screens as the winner of Shipwreck 2019. And yeah, I do some charity work for a charity called Grief Encounter, okay, which helps look after young people that have been affected by bereavement. So,
okay,
yeah, I'm That's going to China in a few weeks with them.
Amazing.
So how is everyone? Happy?
Happy.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
Happy to be here.
No, the vibes here are nice. It's very like relaxing and chilled. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
Tell me, when do you feel most happy?
I actually feel most happy in the morning. It's a good thing. You've got to be grateful for like just waking up every day and just being able to step out and just have the day in front of you. So, I mean, there's a lot of things in the day that can get you down, but I think first thing in the morning is probably when I'm most happiest.
I feel like when I'm the most happiest is when I've like done something that is like, that I feel like I've inspired other people. Mm. And like that is like me, like, getting down to my purpose and being like, yes, this is what I'm meant to be here for. This is why I'm like breathing and why I'm existing. That's like for me. Mm-hmm. And I know that doesn't happen every single day.
No.
So that's like on a much bigger, deeper level. But on like an everyday, just being around people that I think have seen you grow from like boy to man and family and friends, stuff like that is like real contentment and happiness. Yeah.
Both of you can relate to that. Obviously, Mim, you did your documentary on finding your dad.
Mm.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I made a documentary at the end of last year for BBC Three called Mim Shake, Finding Dad. And it was a 60-minute factual programme about me going on this journey to go and find my biological father, who up to the age of 26, I'd never met, I'd never seen a picture of, I've never even thought of that much. And then something in me just told me to just go and search for him and find him. And the process took like a whole 12 months for me to go and like search for this man. And you see every single stage and every single hurdle of the journey, the bad, the good, the ugly. Mm. And I ended up finding him, and it's still available on the BBC iPlayer for the next 2 months to be able to watch.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And how did you feel at the end of that?
It was like a roller coaster of emotions, but I think the main thing was that I was able to do it, and I set out to go and do something that I didn't know how it was gonna end up. But then I ended up meeting him, and that was like feelings of like peace, resolution, liberated in a way, and like happy and content as well. And it was just like when you set yourself out to do something, you don't know what's really gonna happen. It's out of your control, but then it ends up working out in like the best way possible. And then on top of that, it inspired other people to go and meet their father as well, who they'd never met before. So that was me like, yo,
yeah,
that's like that A1 cool. happiness feeling.
You can relate to that, right?
I can relate to that. Yeah. I suppose I work basically all year round for a one day event. So it's like all my eggs in one basket. I'm preparing from the end of summer till June and like putting in all that work and seeing it in its fullness at the end of the day. I mean, I'm not happy during the day. A lot of the time, there's a lot of stress going on and you haven't got enough time to think about what happened. But the weeks after that, when you've had a successful event and you've kind of, what you had envisioned has come to pass. And that's just like that for me is just the buzz I get all year round. Yeah. So I love doing what I do.
How many years have you done it now?
We've done it 5 years now.
5 years.
So I started it while I was at uni as a little side project. It was only like 800 people in the garden.
Yeah.
I was the most burst person on site. and it's just gone from there, strength to strength, and just grown up to like we had 10,000 people this year.
Mad.
It's a proud thing to just have like something in your head that you wanted to create and just seeing other people have fun and be happy around you and that. And I just buzz off that really.
That feeling there must be so, like, you must, on that one day, you must sit back and be like, yo, this started in a garden with, like, 800 people, and now it's translated completely to 10,000 people. What are you thinking when that happens?
Well, do you know what? It's quite a weird one because you actually, unless you sit back, you don't feel the happiness. Because there's always, for me, I'm always, like, pushing to try and do bigger or better or whatever. And, like, sometimes you're, like, in the process so much that you're, like, not really appreciating what you've done. But when you, like, when you stop and like the day after, it's just like, wow.
That's what we did.
Yeah, that's what we did. And it's just like that for me, that's when the real happiness comes. And I think you can take that into like everyday life and a lot of things. Sometimes you're just going around on the rat race on the wheel. Mm. And it's just like, as soon as you stop and think like, actually, where am I?
Yeah, this is mad.
And that's where I am. That's where you can draw happiness from.
How big was your garden?
It wasn't my garden. It was a really nice country house, actually.
Yeah, I was about to say 800 people.
Yeah.
Where are you living, bro?
Do you know what? We pretended it was going to be a party for the Medic Society at Cambridge University, who were like endorsing us at the time. And the landowner was like, yeah, that'll be fine. It'll be quite chilled.
Yeah.
Cambridge Uni kids can't be too reckless. Yeah. We put a big stage in his garden, put Shy FX and David Rodigan in there. The guy came out kicking and screaming. He's like, you got to find a new place now. So we move venues.
That's not bad for your first event, bruv.
Yeah. Mm.
Two legends.
I feel like with both of you, you're like creating happy places, whether it's like physically or mentally for people. Why do you think people are so unhappy right now?
Right now, I was actually off the back of this, I read a book called The Conquest of Happiness. And there's this guy, he's basically saying that there's eight things that lead into people being unhappy. Mm. And those eight things, it was written in 1930, but those eight things are kind of, there's still the same cause of what's happened today. So it's not a new concept. It's just like people are like searching for meaning. They're like worrying about what people think around them. There's envy, there's tiredness, all those sort of things can make people unhappy. And those things are just being exacerbated today with how we live in our day-to-day life.
And if you look at the last 24 months, the rise in social media, the rise in all of these things with young people, of YouTube, of all of this stuff in front of you is leading to, I think, a lot of people comparing themselves to people that they aspire to be like, but they feel like they're not like at the moment. And this like form of comparison can sometimes be overwhelming, especially if you haven't come to terms with who you are yet and you haven't gone through certain life experiences to make you really solid and have a strong foundation. So I feel like that's the main reason why a lot of people may be unhappy right now. And I feel like it's a way of just like in yourself to just kind of get rid of that and don't worry about that too much, you know, and don't compare yourselves to other people because you're on your own journey and everyone else is on theirs. Like, why are you going to compare?
Do you know there's a study saying that like on social media, the reason why people like it so much is because you can get like instant gratification from looking at other people around you and feeling like you're doing better than them. And that is where it's a theory. It's called like, what's it called? There's basically a theory of thought behind it. But basically it's like, if you're looking at other people and you're doing better than them, then you get that instant gratification. But then if you keep looking at that and you're going to see other things around you where you're saying it's like comparing it to that, then you're going to lead yourself down a wormhole. And that's where social media can be really detrimental for people.
Very dangerous, man. I think that's true, the fact that people are consistently comparing things, they get that. And before, like, I was talking to one of my friends about, like, just young people in school. When I was in school, like, I feel like I'm part of the last generation that wasn't, like, completely ruined by social media. Yeah.
Definitely.
Because I left secondary school in 2011. So, like, up until that moment, we were still kind of brick phoned off. Like, just got a BB. Like, everyone got a BB, but I just got a BB. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't iPhone in lesson. Whereas now, these can, like, Snapchat their teacher and they can... You know one thing I was laughing about? This is the point that I was saying to my boy. Like, when I was in school, there's certain people in my year, I can only imagine them in their school clothes. I can't, like, ever imagine them, like, what do they look like? Whereas now, these youths, because they all follow each other and they see what they're doing on the weekend.
Yeah, that's so true.
Now you have, like, a picture of what that guy looks like and what kind of person he is. Whereas in school, oh, you're just that guy that plays the cello.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Trust me. That's very
you're
true.
The cello guy. But now it's, you're the brother that goes here on the weekend and you wear this drip. And so I feel like these kids have so much pressure to perpetuate themselves in a certain way, to portray themselves in a certain way, because all eyes are on them. You know what I mean? Whereas before, like, you'll finish school and that's it. If I don't want to talk to my school people,
you wouldn't.
You don't have to.
But that's what uniform was for, innit? It's just like making everyone on an equal playing field. Just like, you ain't got to worry about what everyone else is doing.
But if you really look at it, that's quite a good thing, because if uniform was to be scrapped now and everyone was to come in, and it would be, for young people, it would be like a competition of, like, who's got the most expensive jacket, who's got the biggest this, who's got
the biggest
that.
Even when we did non-uniform day, my school, like man,
Mufti day.
Yeah, man was like, man was coming all right, couple little bit of swag, but we were still like little kids.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know these little year nine youths, like, they're gonna come Balenciaga, Gucci.
They
had
the jeans for jeans day now. Yeah,
they're coming with.
I remember I got ripped one time. I thought wearing AstroTurfs at school back in the day was cool. One time Mufti day changed and I wore AstroTurfs in, and everyone was like, "What are you doing?
It's the wrong choice of kicks." I'm glad that I grew up in a generation that I grew up in, man, because I feel like, and I know a lot of people say it, but like finishing school, going out to the park, being able to like actually physically socialize with people allows you to learn so many life skills. Whereas now it's like head down generation. Everybody's learning how to like communicate through words and through messaging and what that is doing to like connection on a human level is like just eradicating it, bro. Mm. And we're not really like being in touch with other people as much as we can be.
I did the shipwreck show, right?
Yeah.
So I was in the Cook Islands for 2.5 months.
Mad.
No phone.
No phone.
And it was the biggest digital detox I've ever had. It was a surreal experience. I mean, like, aside from the TV thing, it was the best thing I've ever done in my life, because I was on an island with people and the only way to connect with them was just through genuine, the connections you made were so much deeper because it's just like, you're not worried about who's going to text you next, or I've got to check my phone because something's happening. Yeah. It's just like you and that person just like making connections. Yeah. It was phenomenal.
I loved that.
It was brilliant. Yeah.
For me, that's like what we're bringing it back to the beginning. That's happiness for me.
For real,
you know what I mean? Especially now with like the generation that we're doing. I'm doing a show in Turkey at the end of this year, which is literally like a 2-week, 15-day trek and talking about religion and spirituality, right?
Yeah.
Whilst going on this voyage. And I can't wait for it, because it's going to be the biggest detox from everything that we experience, especially in London, like doing
London's
all the things like that. That's happiness for me, man.
Mm. Proper.
Do you think if you guys moved out of London, or do you feel like being out of London, being out of the city, enables you to become more content?
I think being in London has obviously got its benefits, and then you can draw a lot of happiness from being around cool people and from the buzz. Like, I draw a lot of happiness from that. But then, there is the other content and inner peace that you get from not being in this crazy, crazy city that we live in. I don't know. I'm London born and bred, and I think if you're London born and bred, you've got to get used to it and work out how to find your own happiness within this space. But yeah, I mean, getting out of the city would definitely solve a lot of issues.
But I couldn't live outside of London.
No,
you say that, but like, you'll go away for a week or two and be like, yo, I need to go home. How I say it to everyone, I feel like we are so blessed to have London as our hub, like where we live. And then we're able to say, go here, go there, go do this for that, go do this for something else. But always come back to this centralized location I have American guy came up to me in a club yesterday and was like, man, this is the best city in the world. Like, it's way better than New York. It's way better than anything else. And I'm like, why, bro? Like, why'd you say that? He's just like, just the people. And I'm like, yeah, it's like, I feel like it really is.
Yeah.
It's true. You know, one thing I was thinking about unhappiness is I feel like at different ages, you have different types of unhappiness. Like when you're young, you might be unhappy because you didn't get a certain toy or something. And then when you're growing up a bit, you didn't get that certain wifey or hubby. Like it didn't work out. I at the age I'm 23, yeah, and a lot of my people around me, we're all the same age. And I feel like they're going through this thing now. Not me necessarily, but they're going through a thing where they're learning that money is not happiness. So they've chosen we've been raised in this ideology that you gotta go uni, you gotta go get a job, and you gotta go make money. Yeah. So they're at that part where they've done all this stuff, but now they're not happy. Yeah. Man, they're not happy. So now it's like, right, I need to take a step back, find out what makes me happy. And if I can do a career in that, then I'm gonna be happy. But it's mad because like a lot of my friends have got to this point where they're not happy in their career. And it's all because of the things that happen up until that moment. And I feel like we are not conditioned by our school and by even our family, like the expectations of us is to just do stuff to make money, not to be happy. What do you lot think about
100%. I feel like they actually teach you to go do your A-levels, do your university degree, to go get a regular mundane job, in my opinion, a 9-to-5, because that is what the people that are teaching you have done. So no one in that room has turned around and hasn't even worked out themselves. This is another way for you to go and make a career. I've had to learn it all myself, by myself, by watching other people and listening to other people. And I feel like that's what a lot of young people are doing now. Even though some people might be doing the other way that you're saying, but some are really taking ownership of where 100%. They want to go and becoming self-made by listening to everyone else around there. Completely. And I feel conversations like this are adding to that. But I don't feel like they wouldn't want everyone to be self-employed.
Of course not.
And they wouldn't want everyone to be their own bosses, because then what's going to happen to the economy?
Exactly.
It's going to be effed. Sorry, mind my language.
I was very much an example of that. Like, I went all the way through school knowing that basically I had to go to Cambridge Uni. Went to Cambridge Uni and was very much unhappy for 3 years, probably the most unhappy I've been in my life. And off
what
the
was
back,
you doing there?
I did land economy, so it's like economics, law, real estate finance. Should have gone into private equity, been a banker, made a lot of peas. But like, I was there surrounded by people that were working their ass off, and I wasn't at Cambridge. I was at Cambridge to meet some really cool people and make some really cool connections, and that was my aim for it. And I realized quite early on that I was not gonna succeed in a banking job because I just didn't have that drive to work for the man and not be happy. So, I mean, when I started Strawberries and Cream and telling my dad, like, look, I'm living at home. I'm only gonna pay myself £800 a month because I'm gonna try and make this thing work. But I've been happy every day. Like, if I pop tomorrow, I'd be like, well, have a good time. I've not wasted a day doing something for someone else. You know what I mean? So like, taking that step is very difficult when you've got pressures around you of like everyone else doing well. All my friends that left Cambridge are on like 80 to 100K jobs.
Yeah.
And like, I'm still sitting there like, well, at least I'm happy though. So I mean, and that's literally my mantra. I've got to live by it. And you've got to kind of take that step sometimes and just be like, I'm going to do this for me, not for what my parents are saying, not for my friends are doing. And if this makes me happy, then that's what I'm going to do.
Nah, good on you, bro. Because a lot of people sometimes I feel like can't take that jump or that risk because they don't know where that financial security is going to be coming in from.
That's the thing.
That's the only reason you're doing
it. That's what's happening with my people right now, is that they can't take that step to try find the happiness because man got to survive.
You have to survive.
Security.
It feels like the survival is more important than your happiness, your mental state, but isn't. But technically, your mental state is everything. Because if you're not happy, then is it worth it? Do you know what I mean? And I feel like that cycle is just consistently going on for people all the time, man. And it's hard, bruv.
But I think it's also the same the other way, is that you do venture out into this creative career or this thing that makes you really happy, and then you have the pull of like, I actually cannot pay rent, or like, and that's when it becomes super hard. Obviously, we're talking about happiness, and you guys are open to talking about happiness. But do you think that there is stigma around talking about mental health?
Completely. I think mental health and mental illness are sometimes terms that are like interchanged, and I think mental illness in a way has got much worse stigma attached to it. I mean, there's like a spectrum. It's like your mental health is what everyone experiences. Everyone has a mental health. One in four people are going to experience mental illness at some stage in their life. And it's like this spectrum of where you need to keep your mental health well, otherwise you're going to subside into mental illness. Mm-hmm. And it's just like talking about, if you're saying you're having a wobble, your mental health might not be on point at that stage. Are you saying then I'm mentally ill, or are you saying your mental health's wavering?
Yeah.
And being able to discuss that in between stage, I think, is where the stigma lies. Because, I mean, if I'm not happy and I'm struggling, I've got a little bit of anxiety, I may not be mentally ill, but my mental health might just not be on job. Mm-hmm. And I think that balance as a society is where we are struggling at the moment.
Mm.
But it's come a long way.
What do you think are like the remedies, or not even remedies, but ways to avoid going from a mental health issue to actually having a mental illness?
It is speaking up about it, and it is removing that stigma. And I think that, like, recently it's been mad. Like, I get a message from Huffington Post actually explaining that mental health and mental illness thing on my phone. Like, it's a discussion that we're having in society.
Yeah, 100%.
Today. And big people like The Rock, basically, I just saw on Instagram. Yeah. He said he's come through an episode of mental health, but mm-hmm. that guy's the highest paid actor in the world. And if like people like that are experiencing mm-hmm. it, then, I mean, it's just a normal thing, and mm-hmm. you just have to be able to discuss it. And mm-hmm. I think that's the only way you can really, unless you're incredibly driven, you need to let people in when you're having that wobble. So, yeah, talking about it is really key.
I think no matter what job you're doing, no matter whether you're the biggest paid celebrity in the world, the biggest model, the biggest banker, everything in life, especially the day and age that we live in now, is going to come with like stresses, are going to come with like difficulties, drawbacks. And mental health is not a thing that I feel like we experience that, oh yeah, I had mental health. That doesn't make sense when somebody says that. It's more about, because we've all got a mental state, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about trying to look after that as much as we can on a day-to-day basis so that we don't act out of character or are just in line with what we set out that we were going to do. But I'm glad that more conversations are happening about people that are able to just openly speak about stuff in like the public forum. But then at the same time, it's like when we were kids, we didn't know what that stuff was, right?
Mm.
We didn't have a clue. We just used to go out and have fun and be friendly and do whatever we wanted without thinking. As we become adults, all these words come out like anxiety, depression, schizophrenia, bipolar. And you start thinking and questioning, I didn't know this word existed before. Yeah. Now I know this word exists. Have I got this?
Completely.
Am I leading into becoming like that?
Yeah.
And then you go into a Google tunnel and then you're like...
Yeah, then you could maybe I need to go get checked out. Or
and it's like, a downward spiral. Yeah.
You didn't know it existed before and you was all right.
Yeah. Mm.
So just carry on being okay.
Yeah.
But now you don't have that information, maybe just use it to your advantage and be like,
yeah, cool. That's what it's about, 100%. Using it like for what it is. Like, I feel like you're definitely right, because things have come about. People have definitely, like, it's like the self-fulfilling prophecy where now you've heard that label, now you're attaching it to yourself, and now maybe things that weren't even there are drawing from that just because you're aware.
Definitely. Mm.
But like you said, you have to use it for the right ways. That, so if you do know that you may have depression or you have high anxiety, maybe before you would have just had that feeling and you wouldn't have been able to pull it in like a little box to understand it. But now, like my wife, she had mad anxiety for a while at work, and she didn't know. She didn't know what was going on. She just turning up, like, not feeling good. And then when she sat down and broke it down, she realized that she had a little bit of anxiety, and she took it as a selfish, like, a decision on herself to go, like, find someone to talk to.
Exactly.
Yeah. When she did that, I was like, "Ra, just chat to me."
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
Yeah.
But, it is hard.
But,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sometimes,
like,
speaking to someone else who has no relationship 100%. With you is sometimes,
and it made her a happier person, because it's mad. Because like you're saying, at the time when she's saying I'm anxious, I'm like, you ain't got anxiety. You're not feeling work. Like, work is long.
No.
But when she went and sat down and talked to this person about the things that she was going through, it made her control her anxiety and have, like, be aware of it. So it's mad. There's two sides to it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's good that she went and took that first step to do it.
100%.
Because I feel like sometimes people don't want to go there.
Nah, she was scared.
Yeah.
She was scared to tell me, like, even me, like, telling me that she's going to go chat to someone. My first reaction going to be like, don't need to talk to anyone.
You're going to think I'm mad. So when I was studying, I had really bad anxiety. I had, like, heart palpitations at night. So I was going for x-rays, thinking that I had something like heart attacks. I was, like, convincing my mum that I'd had a heart attack. And then I went to the doctor and she was like, you just got anxiety. And it is, like, mad to feel, like, if you've never experienced anxiety in that way, it's mad to feel your body changing to stress.
Yeah,
100%. And it's stress. Yeah. It's literally like your body just, like, reacting to stress and you don't have a clue what's happening.
Mm.
That's just it. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's mad that your happiness actually just controls everything. Yeah. Mm. When you break it down, like life is about it. When people used to say life's about happiness, I just think, what are you talking about, bro? Yeah. I just want to get a Range Rover. Yeah. When I'm a little kid, you know, I need a big, like, people always say that thing, life's not about happiness or whatever, but I mean, life's about happiness, but would you rather be,
Happy in this?
Or would you rather be happy in a Range Rover or something? Yeah. And people always say them points, and like, I don't know, it's mad because I feel like that's what we're fed from young, that if you get money to gain, that like, you'll become happy. Mm. But then you see all these celebrities, like you are saying, and are they all happy?
I don't think monetary gain and then materialistic like outcome and spend is gonna. This is just me speaking for me. It can do for everyone else, right? If you've got it, then definitely do it. But I feel if you're able to get, you should also give.
Yeah. Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Absolutely. And if you're able to get something and get yourself something amazing, try and give something else out as amazing or just as amazing to someone else or someone less well off than you. And that can really, I feel like, fulfill you internally.
Yeah. Sure.
How do you guys protect your mental health?
I do certain things. Like yesterday, I was actually really.
I love the way that you're smiling now.
Like,
I do.
Yeah, I do. Like yesterday, I had a meeting and I come off it really unhappy. And I was like, what am I going to do to like resolve this? And I was just like, let me just write down some of the things. So it's not just all in my head. So it's just like, I was thinking about too many things at one time. So I was just like, let me just.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Like, regurgitate it onto a piece of paper so I can just, like, kind of weigh it up, what's going on. And that really helped. Trying to be active is really key for me. Like, I've stopped looking at my phone first thing in the morning. I actually get out of bed. Like, put my feet on the floor before I look, because I can lose 45 minutes quite easily on Instagram stories. Like, I pick up my phone and I'm just like, let me just scroll in. I'm not really doing
it.
Yeah,
it happens to me constantly, bro.
And it's just like,
yo, I'm on there 3 minutes max, I'm gone.
I mean, I don't have to be anywhere usually early in the morning, so it's just like, I'm not got a job to be at, so I could just sit there. But like, I've taken a step where I don't look at my phone until I get out of bed, have a drink, whatever, and that's really sets me up very well for the day, because I know I've got off to a good start. And then just being active, music really helps. It can really change a mood as well. So like, if I'm feeling down or whatever, just put a tune on and you can quickly forget about anything, or it can exacerbate it and make you feel worse. But that's the power of music,
depending on the tune.
Yeah, exactly.
So listening to a Zoo tune, it's just gonna make it go mad. Yes.
Gonna get two hypes.
Yes.
I found I used to be self-conscious of this before, because I used to think when I was younger, people are going to think I'm some weirdo. But I found going to the cinema on my ones.
Really?
Yeah. Like being the most. And you have to experience it by yourself before you like start talking about it. Because before I was like, I used to go to the cinema on a date with a girl, always dress up nice, share popcorn, feel like it's like romantic, like them Hollywood films, and leave and be all right. Yo, when you go to the cinema by yourself and the film that you're really enjoying is an amazing film that you can really connect with and not have to have a conversation about, just take in, that for me has been like
I
amazing.
Rate people like that.
I went to see Lion King the other day.
Did you?
Myself.
Yeah, by myself. Yeah. It was wicked, bro.
How many times a week do you go?
No.
a month even.
Yeah, probably like not once a month, maybe. Okay. I can't remember the last time I've done it before Lion King, but it's not an every week thing.
Sorry.
It's a strong thing to be able to do, isn't it? Just be like, right, I'm going to the cinema myself and I'm just going to be with myself. Yeah. Like, really being able to do that is a lot, much respect.
Because I know a lot of people like to take time out and just like, just be on their own and just be in their own thoughts in the outside world, not just at home, like in your bed, but actually on road, like actively doing something. Like I know some people, they won't get food like if they're on their own. Like they have to call someone
with
to
someone.
They
eat have with
to.
Them.
Like one of my boys, like doesn't matter what you're doing. Like, yo, bro, do you wanna get food? No, man's cool. What do you mean?
Like,
I'm not hungry, innit? I'm not. Like, he's angry because you can't come with me.
You could turn around and say, well, you go and eat because you're hungry, but I'm not hungry. He's like, oh.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying some people, like, they're not content on their own.
I've been like that. I've been like that very much. Like, yeah. I've had to go with other people. Now it's just like, yo, where's the foods? Let me just go and eat and get on with my day, man.
But I think that that's even that in itself, like, being happy in your own... in your own space with your own self is an extremely powerful thing. Like, I went away in March just by myself to Devon, like 4 days, turned my phone off. And at first I was like, I had that same feeling, is this a little bit weird? But actually I love it. I love going away by myself because you can do what you want to do. Like, you can watch what you want to watch. You can just do, like, spend that time for you. But it's something that not everybody can do because not everybody is happy in their own
self.
Yeah.
You find happiness in your own self is a really good trait to have. It's like 100%. When if I'm with someone, if I'm in a situation with someone that they're happy with themselves, then it makes a conversation with us a lot less awkward. Like, you know, there's never awkward silence if you're with someone that's actually just like, I'm happy being by myself. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's a good trait to have, I think, for friendships, for relationships, especially, like, who wants to be in a relationship that needs you all the time?
Mm. It's hard, though, because that's what I was going to say. Like, in a relationship, like, Will Smith, I see that thing how he's talking about how him and his wife don't rely on each other for happiness. Mm. Like,
they make themselves individually happy and then come
together
and be happy. And I think that's a great big thing.
That's like... You get me? You've got to take steps to get there. Do you know what I mean, though? Like, because I know, like, your average couple, like, you know what I mean? You kind of have to rely on each other at certain times. Like, oh, I'm down in the dumps. Like, take me out, innit? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But I don't know, Will Smith and Jada, they got it a bit different, man. But, like, what do you lot think about that in a relationship? Like, the happiness of, like, your partner, for example, do you feel like it's on you to make them happy, all, like, 24/7? Or is it their responsibility?
I feel like if you care for the person, then naturally you would want to do that, right? Mm. As in being able to uplift them because you want them to be happier and higher than they usually are. Mm. But sometimes that might not work, you know? Like, they really need to go to that place themselves to make themselves happy.
Yeah.
Mm. Because whatever you say or whatever you do is not going to make them feel better.
Mm.
And once that happens, then it's a bit like, well, you've got a kind of... That's when I feel the Will Smith and Jada analogy comes into play. And it's like they're able to go and do it themselves.
I feel like you need to love yourself and be happy in your own self before you start going to look for a relationship personally.
Yeah.
Trying to look for a relationship with someone that's going to bring you up from a place you don't want to be is a bad starting point, because we know what today and age is like. Like, relationships aren't going to last. And I think that is a bad place to start on. I was having a chat with my sister this morning, actually, and she goes out and she's like, goes out with her friends, but she's always on the look for a boy.
Mm.
And I said to her, like, look, you're a beautiful girl. If you're confident and, like, happy in your own space, the boys are going to come to you. Mm-hmm. And, like, you don't want to be, I mean, it's the way you people perceive you. It's like, if you're happy, if you're a girl,
people want to share.
Yeah, looking for a guy, you're looking thirsty, but if you're there having a good time, then the guys are going to come to you and going to be more desirable. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just, it's a way of thinking.
I feel like with the proliferation of, like, dating apps, and all of these things of people just being like,
swipe,
don't want that. Yeah, I'll take that.
Left, I don't want that.
It's like,
I feel like mentally, in, like, the real world, we're like living in Sims where, like, people are just like, yo, this one, I don't want this one. So I'm going to go to that one now. Oh, wait, this one's making me unhappy. So you know what? X, I'm going to go here.
Yeah.
And it's creating, like, this divided relationships with so many people in humanity.
Completely.
And it's crazy that these things that were created, like the iPhone was created by Steve Jobs, the app for Apple to exist, to connect people more. But what's happening now? It's just dividing us way more than we can see. And I find that crazy.
Yeah, it's that grass is always green. Those dating apps actually is a probably different story altogether. But it's just like, with the access, like, everyone is accessible. You can just swipe and find someone that you think's things better. And it's just people aren't investing their time into anything real at the moment.
Mm. Yeah. Which is so sad. Zoo, shall we do it?
Should we do it? We'll ask them the ultimate question.
Item.
What's that?
Do you guys have an item? We like to ask our wonderful guests every week to bring a specific item that represents the topic we're talking about. So okay. Do you have an item that represents happiness or unhappiness? Anything?
Could be poetry. Oh.
We got a CD.
God, what's the CD?
I've got Notorious B.I.G.'s Greatest Hits.
Greatest Hits.
My guy. I got this CD when I was young.
I got to give you a high five.
Real young. Real young.
That's amazing.
What's your favourite song off there?
Big Papa.
Ah, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Why you say, oh, come on?
Can you know, that's my guy, you know, B.I.G., B.I.G., Notorious, and I said. So why does that make you happy?
I don't know.
Oh, just, I don't know if it makes you happy.
It's nostalgic. I think like there's a lot of fond memories I've had as a child.
Did you watch the documentary?
I watched, which one?
The Tupac one.
Yes. Yeah. So I mean, he's got an incredibly interesting life. He was one of the greatest storytellers of all time. I just grew up. And I think I grew up a little bit after him, but I think I found B.I.G. and then just found this album. Mm. And I was just like, I'm fucking with this guy, man.
I got like
a few
quotes from Toni Morrison.
Okay. She just passed away.
Yeah.
She rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Rest her soul. And like, I just feel like a few of them like really, really, really resonated and just like helped by looking up her work. And she, like one of them is like, if you want to fly, you've got to give up all the stuff that weighs you down. That was one of them, which is wicked. And then in times of dread, artists must never choose to remain silent. This is precisely the time when artists go to work. There is no time for despair. No place for self-pity. No need for silence. No room for fear. And I feel sometimes when you're... you know, self-doubting yourself sometimes and thinking this isn't working, that isn't working, to just hear those words from somebody who wrote so well and used language like in like the best way possible, that like really resonated with me. So that's like what I wanted to bring in.
For real.
Shit, man.
It's interesting. I actually did an interview with Labyrinth a few weeks ago and he said something similar on the like topic of flying. I should probably get it up. And it was really interesting the fact that like you say that and you bring that up just because it's very... like very similar. I'll try and find it if my Wi-Fi works.
The Wi-Fi wants to give you the happiness.
See. So
now that trust in your process thing is just what I kind of live by.
Yeah, man.
It's like you got one life, and life at the end of the day is about you, innit? And it's like you got to do what you got to do to make you happy. And if you're doing something, believe in yourself.
Definitely.
Other people aren't going to.
It's like what you said earlier. If you said, if something, God forbids, and touch wood, something was to happen to you, you know that if you was to go away, you gave it everything that you wanted to do, right?
Exactly.
I feel exactly the same way, bro. Like, touch wood, God, something happens to me tomorrow.
Yeah.
I achieved my dreams.
Yeah.
I like made amazing friendships. Yeah. Like I inspired people.
Mm.
I'm happy and content with all of
that
stuff.
It's mad when you say that. It's just like, you look back and it's like, you've got a legacy.
Yeah.
And if you're living beyond your life, then life's a good, you've done well.
100%.
Trust me.
Do you want to hear it?
Go on.
Okay, yes. So a bird doesn't question why it can fly, it just flies. And a bird being so comfortable in itself creates something beautiful in the sky for you to see. Relieving yourself of this inner uncertainty is finding the purest version of yourself that actually eventually inspires someone else.
Woo! Love that.
But that is, the Labyrinth said that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's amazing.
But that's literally what we're here for, man. Like, when I watched Lion King and they started talking about the circle of life.
Do you want to sing it?
I'm going to get all like a little
Mim,
child.
Mim, we know you can sing. Do you want to sing it?
I know Hakuna Matata and all of that. but it's true. Like, in service was interesting. To others. Like, we're, we're all connected in a way that...
All connected. I was thinking, how are they going to make the lions eat food in this kid's film?
Yeah,
how are they gonna kill someone? And they look at the deer and they're like, he's like, Dad, are we not gonna eat a deer? He's like, nah, we'll march that later though. Basically, that's my little roadman breakdown version. Like, Simba was telling him, Mufasa was telling Simba, yo, listen, obviously it's not an instant dead them all the time, but when we need to eat, we'll eat. But he said, don't worry, when we die, we go into the grass and they eat us.
Yeah.
Circle of life.
Yeah.
You get me? Liking, like, I educating, man. Now, one thing I wanted to say about happiness, I feel like people kind of like put their happiness as a date in the future. Like, cool, I'm going to do all of this and then I'll be happy.
Yeah,
and I think that's a big problem.
Yeah, massive.
Because obviously you have to enjoy the process, innit?
Yeah.
Like, there's times like, I guess I'm going to blow in this music thing and when I blow, I'll be happy.
Yeah,
Nah.
But that's a vicious cycle. Because once you've blown, you'll be like, "Right, I'm gonna blow even some more," and then you're always, and then you're never. Wait, I'm gonna do it again, and it's like, this thing is not like, what's happening? This thing's not working.
I'm lucky because I realized it from early. So one of our projects is called Content with Content. Yeah. Because, like, I was content with having content. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Content with content.
Basically, yeah. Just I was just happy, innit? And when I did that, I mean, like, a lot of people got back to me about it and they enjoyed it. But, like, I've definitely seen that in like, a lot of my peers, that like, they're working towards something and they get it and they're still not happy, bro. It's mad.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But I think enjoying the process.
Yeah, living
like,
for the present.
Is definitely key with that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you're not living for the journey present, then and taking it all in at the same time, and then once it goes out, it's like, well, wicked, it was, now it's done, on to the next thing.
I want to go back to like the circle of life and on the topic of grief, and obviously yourself, you've worked with people with grief as well. Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about that.
So I mean, why I work with grief, I lost my mum last year to cancer, and it was a long, it was a long ongoing process. Like, she had it for 8 years, and it was just like, she actually, getting diagnosed with cancer probably made her life a lot better in a lot of respects, because she realised that she had a finite time here, and she took her life into her own hands, and she moved away from her family home. She did stuff that she'd never have done if she was living there, and she became a better person.
Amazing.
When she was given like a certain time. For me, seeing that, I'm just like, wow. I mean, I see her death as like, obviously I miss her all the time, but I can't see that as a negative. I've got to see that as part of my life story and take all the positives I can from it. 100%. And because I know there's a lot of people that don't see it like that, but I feel like I've got a platform now to be able to go and reach other people and share that story, because it's like, it's a positive experience with grief and death. And it doesn't have this, I mean, you can have post-traumatic stress with those sort of things, but you can also use that energy and use all those lessons. My mum's dying lesson to me was, she made me from a boy into a man, because she was always looking after me, and she was always the one to go to. But at the end of her, and then her days, I was the one looking after her. So it, like, she made me grow up.
Yeah.
So I'm in a kind of a special position where I can go off and use that to help other people. And that's exactly what I'm doing with the charity. So.
No, that's amazing, bro. Yeah. No, genuinely, for you to go and learn that from there, it's it's a real, real, real blessing. And I relate, because I lost my grandmother coming up to 3 years now. And she was like my mum. And I'm not going to lie, 3 years later now, I look at that as, it sounds weird, but like the best thing that's going to happen.
It's mad, isn't it?
Rather than being like a negative in the first year, that I was like, why has God got to do this? Why is life doing this to me? I'm meant to be like happy all the time. Now I'm sad.
Yeah.
Being able to lose her has now made me find real meaning in what I feel, in what I value, and what I feel is beneficial to me and other people.
Completely.
And that's through grief, and that's through bereavement, and that's through the feeling of like, not negative, but like stuff that's a bit sad. There's actually so much beauty in that than there is in sometimes happiness, because the things that we think make us happy, they don't really fulfill.
Yeah.
Whereas sadness can sometimes fulfill something that was missing and can lead you to finding more meaning in like the work that you're trying to go and find.
Completely. Yes.
That's such a like beautiful way to put it, is like switching it on its head completely.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned from doing it. So
But it takes a long time for you to realize. It took you a year.
Whole year. I was like, why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And when was that moment that you did get it?
When I went to go and find my dad.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that your dad's mum?
My mum's mum. Yeah. But whilst I was alive, she never really wanted me to, not that she stopped me, but like I never asked her about my dad, because I felt like it was a disservice to her, because she raised me, and she's like, why do you want to go and meet this man?
Yeah, I had no
help in raising you.
Oh, mad.
So when she went away, I was like, I just ended up coming more to terms with my identity and who I am and where I fit in the world, and just having the answers. And then the penny dropped and was like, wow. Like, this has led me to go and do this. Completely. I would have never done this if my mom was still alive, you know?
Yeah.
That's that point where your life is your own life, and everything that happens, and it happens for a reason. I mean, like that is pure testament 100%. To it. I mean, the helping brief people, like people like us, when you see positives from it, I've got a role. Because death can really send people under.
100%.
And like, I suppose if you're in a position where you can take positives from it, as that we've got a duty to go out and help others, because it only takes a story like that for people to change the context of that whole thing and realise, oh yeah, this actually might be a reason why this can happen later down the line. So Yeah.
And I think you can adapt that from death to illness, from like whether it's illness in yourself
or illness.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really interesting, the fact that like you have something that is holding you back, or whether it is an illness in your family or in yourself, but it actually pushes you to do something that you wouldn't have necessarily done.
Mm.
I was just going to go back to childhood. Do you think childhood shapes the way you view happiness?
I think childhood shapes your adult life fundamentally, full stop.
Yeah.
Like what you go through as a child, you live out some of those experiences. And if you haven't come to terms with certain things that have happened in your childhood, then there's going to be certain things that you need to come to terms with in your adult life. Like I realized the other day, I've moved around to so many different schools in my childhood. I've moved around to so many different houses in my childhood that in my adult life, it explains so much why I want to do the career that I'm doing. As in being able to go on set here, work with these people, go and do this over there, work with these people, like be involved in different like
communities.
Yeah. Like so many, still remain myself, but be able to like still fit in all of these different communities. Because I was doing that as a child anyway. Mm. That was like my survival mechanism.
Yeah.
Having to force myself to like just grow up straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, childhood shapes definitely most of what happens for your adult life. And I think it takes a strong person to, if there have been things in their childhood that they are dealing with, that they've had dealt with, and that have are affecting the way they're living, going back and looking at that and exploring that 100%. Area is something that you've got a responsibility to do, because no one else is going to fix it.
Mm.
I mean, if you've got demons in your closet, explore them and fight through them. But like leaving them there is toxic, and it's just going to eat away at you until you have a look at it.
It like burrows, it keeps on building, and then it's just like a little grenade, you touch it and that's it, it's over.
I used to,
when I was in uni, I used to do like a youth work course. It was about like social science and community development and stuff, and there was a lady in my class, and she's a strong Jamaican woman. She's like 40, she had like a couple kids. And we were just talking about our mental state and happiness. And we were always talking about that, because the main thing they did was make us explore ourselves so we could help other people. Because you can't like be a youth worker if you can't really help yourself.
Defo.
So we're all there, and we've been talking about this, getting things off your chest and looking at your past and overcoming stuff and literally we're all just sitting there, and she just starts crying, literally, just randomly in lecture, just starts crying.
Just make one.
Like, yeah, we're like, why are you crying?
Mm-hmm.
We're like, yo, you're all right. She's like, I just realized. We're like, what? She's like, my dad never loved me. And we're like, what?
Wow.
And she's like, yeah, I've just sat here and realized that my dad never loved me. And I've never said it ever. Mm. So I've just been this tough, upset woman just because of this.
Mm.
And then my teacher just stopped the whole lecture. She's like, yo. Like, that was the moment she was waiting for.
Yeah.
Stop the whole thing. She's like, let's talk about it.
Mm.
Sat there, we just spoke about it for time. And I swear, after that moment, she was a different lady.
Yeah.
Different lady. Yeah. Coming to lectures, vibrant and happy.
Really?
And I swear down.
It's because that was something that she was coming to terms with in her mind.
Yeah.
And that was the catalyst moment
for
it to, like, literally be provoked and come out. Because everything internally that we're dealing with has to externally somehow, like, come out of us for us to move forward with it. And that was like a way of
I feel like sometimes people feel like it just disappears, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you never know when it comes back up. Like, you know what I mean?
It don't disappear. It's literally bam, bam, bam.
Yeah,
bam.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then it can either go explode or in a way that she was able to come out with it, like cathartically cry.
I had a penny drop moment like that once. I'm actually, as I was saying before earlier, I had a bad time at uni, and I kind of worked myself into a state of depression because I was like, things weren't going my way, and then I'll just like internalize it, stay, miss more lectures, stay in my room, and it would just get worse and worse and worse and worse. And then to a stage, I was actually depressed. Mm. So I went and got help, and I was like, I'm never gonna get out of this. I'm gonna get out of this. And I went to a group counseling session, and that moment there, I was like, everything changed. I looked around, I was like, I'm not this bad. I've made myself get into this state, and I was that from that moment there, I was like, for me, it would stop me from ever being properly down that bad again, because I was just like, this, I've got myself a lot of this into the mess. And I was just thinking about a penny drop moment for me that actually has changed my life. I always remember that one time I went to go seek help, and that was enough help that I needed, just going there
just
and being like, right, my hands up, I've got into a bad way, but let me now go fix myself. But yeah, I mean, everyone has a penny drop moment in their life that changes.
And I think it is like accepting that you may feel a certain way. Yeah. And once you accept it and know that it's only for a duration of time, then that I think helps. Also really helps. It helps you come to terms with it and get out of it eventually. Yeah. You don't know when you're going to get out of it, but yeah. And I was just going to talk about the DMs that you guys must get. You must get so many DMs on this topic. And how do you respond to them, or do you even respond to them? What's your
DMs are an interesting one because some people slide in for like with like a right, he'll definitely reply to this because I've got an issue and it will lead to something else. But I had a lot of DMs off the back of Shipwreck with people like, how do you deal with your mum's thing or whatever? And like I always go and offer as much advice and help and support as I can. It gets tiring though, and especially like trying to give to like random people that you don't know through social media is actually like, it becomes almost very difficult. And I mean, I want to give as much as I can, but also at the end of the day, I don't actually want to all the time be trying to give out advice on a subject that is still quite raw to me. Yeah. And there was a point where I was just like, I actually just can't reply to all of these issues because it's not good for me. But there is obviously a nice fine balance where like, yeah, I replied to someone, I feel really good about the advice that I've given them, and then they've been like, oh, you've really helped, and that gratitude there is great. But finding a balance with the amount you give is definitely important.
I think sometimes creating a barrier for yourself is very important as well. I remember when my documentary came out, I was inundated with messages of being like, yo, bro, like, my dad never met me here, my dad left me here, my dad done this to me. And I'm reading all of these messages and I'm like, wow, like, I understand our stories are very similar. And some of them would turn around and be like, and I'd give as much advice as I can, but I don't know the individual situation. Yeah, I always just said, this worked out for me.
Yeah.
You can do the same for you, but I don't know if it's going to work out for you.
Yeah.
But by all means, do whatever it is that you've got to do. And then a lot of people, like one guy I remember sent me a selfie of him and his dad. And it was just a picture. So I just looked at it and just scrolled past it.
Yeah.
Then he sent me a whole paragraph afterwards being like, bro, this is the story. Never met my dad. Just come to Scotland. Met him on a mountaintop. We had this amazing conversation. It's through your documentary that we was able to do this.
Yeah.
I saw that one, and I went, bro, I'm going to cry, man.
Like, so mad that.
How did like a piece of programming, or by me just sharing a certain aspect of my life, allow this other person to go and like, do something similar but work out in a positive way?
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's when I was like, nah, trying to give as much as you can sometimes can definitely like, 100%. Help out.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That was so amazing.
That just made me just go, that's like real purposeful and meaningful. And
completely.
Like, that's why you want to do what you do sometimes.
I remember when your documentary came out and so many people were talking about it and you were sharing like all the responses. What was that the standout response, or would you say that there was...
That was definitely, out of all of them, that was the one that I think resonated with me the most. Just like some normal everyday guy just living his life and just being able to like share and connect and say, this is what happened to me through what you done. So I just took that on and was just like, wow, that's what you can do from creating some art. Yeah. Like, that's an amazing thing.
So from people you don't know to people you do know, how do you respond?
I think people you do know is a bit of a different story for me. I'm a caring, giving person. And it's just like, if anyone comes to me for help that I do know, it's like, I've got a duty.
Yeah.
And like, there's not even, when you're in a position like that, sometimes you feel like asking for help is you're becoming a burden on someone. Mm. But if your real friends will never see you as a burden. Mm. It's just like you've got to get them through it. So, people shy away from asking friends for advice. But I think sometimes as the friend that's not in the scenario, and you can see traits of maybe someone's gone into themselves, I think you've got a responsibility to like reach out and be like, yo. Like, what's up? Mm. Like, chat to me. I'm here for you. That is as important in society as people coming out and speaking about their issues, I think.
100%.
I think that's still quite hard for guys to come to terms with doing that sometimes. You know what I'm saying? We've all got friends who are like the man them that you've known from like young all the way up until now.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not as easy
as
like that, but you got to find different ways to be able to deal with that, especially I think being a man in like the day and age now. We're all soft at the end of the day. I don't care what anyone says, bro. You're the hardest man, Dwayne Johnson. Like,
we're all deep down.
We're all human.
Yeah, you know what completely.
I mean? And we all have like an emotional spectrum that we feel on a day to day basis. Mm. Sometimes we use art to like let our aggressive side come out. Sometimes we have friends to let like other sides come out. But at the end of the day, we hurt in the same way.
Yeah,
like we feel pain in the same way, and we feel happiness in the same way. And I feel if we can turn around and just be more honest. Mm. With each Honestly. Other rather than feel like we have to put up appearances or be a certain way or act a certain way with certain people, then our relationships.
And that's so key, isn't it? If people understand that, yeah, we all deep down are the same like that, then it makes it easier to kind of reach out and go and do those sort of things.
100%.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna wrap it up. It was a happy show. Thank you so much.
I feel like we've spoken about so many amazing things, man.
Great quotes, great album. Actually, on that note, does anybody have a track that they want to give to the listeners to listen to end the show, to make them happy? They should listen to
your happiness song.
Yeah, what is your happiness?
I don't know about happiness song. I've been banging the A2 EP.
Full
Spill, and I love Don't Run.
Okay, like,
that is my yo.
But we do run though.
Yeah, we run. Oh, sorry, it's playing.
It's playing.
I got gas.
Say a little plug. Be like A2.
I think happiness song of the year for me has got to be Coffee. Nice. Toast.
Toast is too lit.
Just happy. Gratitude, blessings, everything she's saying in that is just like, that rings true for me. Mm. And you can't help just sing it when it comes on as well. Put a smile on.
I look around the studio and everybody's smiling.
Toast.
Yeah.
Coffee's winning.
Yeah.
She's killing it.
She's winning. And she's such
even
a young...
Rapture as the follower.
She's so tiny.
She's
got so much energy to give, man.
Yeah.
Like, real good energy.
Yeah.
All right, this is Spoke. Thank you for coming through. Mim Shake, Chris Jammer, myself, Big Zoo, aka Zigbu.
And a little bit of Fenno Mealy.
Jeez! Adana!
Hey guys, if you're loving the podcast and want to support the cause, make sure to rate and review us.
Make sure you tell your friends and follow us on Insta and Twitter.
At
This Is Spoke Pod.
Pod.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.